We all know who that was, Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up, and that's a good intro to our segment tonight. And Bobby, what do you think about this new title that I'm throwing out here, Urban Action? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm excited about, I think it's the flow. As we go on, we'll gather up a really good flow for it. For the title.
Yeah, I know, it's evolving. So, no, I'm not married to that. It seems like we're still working out the best thing for the show. Because last show we had a panel discussion. The previous one we had a panel discussion. This one is just you and me hosting this segment. And we have an interesting topic tonight. So whatever the title, this should be good stuff. So let's see if we can get our guests on the phone. And actually, Bobby, why don't you introduce Debbie, who's, I think, one of your associates.
Yes. So tonight we have none other than the most amazing Debbie. She is Ms. Deborah Sims, and she's from the city of Bridgeport, Easton, leader and community activist on so many different levels. Definitely, she plays a great role within our community. What I love about her is that when she has a vision, she sets out for that vision and she makes it happen. So Ms. Debbie has been a part of a long process project here for the Easton side of Bridgeport, making sure that the residents on the East End are able to get the proper nutrition, fruits and vegetables, and have a place to go that not only provides fruits and vegetables, but opportunities for the young people in the community and also job opportunities for those residents that live on the East End. For most of you that do know, the United States and also Bridgeport has been a part or been considered the food drop nation. We are a part of that nation, one of the higher on the higher end of things. So there is a greater need for the communities to be able to have access to these things. It shouldn't be that we go out into other neighborhoods and be able to find those things. So Ms. Debbie, along with a few other Debbies, because there's a few of them on her team, decided to make this happen. And with great work and preparation, I believe it was a few weeks ago, but the time has passed. Ms. Debbie can give you more detail that this actually launched and took place on the East End. They shut down Stratford Avenue and they hosted a grand opening for the market that takes place on the East End. And I believe that, with her great power, her great understanding of the value of the community, it was able to happen where, great leaders came out to celebrate this great moment, because on the East End, as long as I've been alive, there's never been a grocery store. We've had bodegas, we had little mini markets, but never a store or a place where people can get not junk food, but actually food that's going to sustain them. So Ms. Debbie is a part of that great movement, and I'm super excited to have her on the air with us today. She said yes with no hesitation, so I'm super happy that she's here with us.
Well, Debbie, why don't you check in and let's make sure we're well connected.
Hey, Miss Debbie.
I'm excited to be on the air with you guys tonight.
That's fantastic. And let me just mention that we also have with us Jocelyn Tidwell, who is the farm manager for New Haven Farms. Jocelyn, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Like you said, I'm the farm manager for New Haven Farms. We're a small nonprofit in New Haven, also trying to promote health and community through urban agriculture. So it's great to be with you guys. And after that introduction with Debbie, I'm super excited to be a part of this conversation tonight.
That's great. Since we have two organizations which are intersecting, around the issue of food availability and food justice in our cities, maybe we could start. Why don't you say a word or two about New Haven Farms, what the mission is, what the history of it is, and how broad your project is in the city, in New Haven, that is.
Right. Yeah. So the thing that I think is unique about New Haven Farms, we started in 2002, and it really came out of conversations that were happening kind of in more medical circles. So with health practitioners in the area who were concerned about food access through the lens of folks of theirs who were suffering with diabetes or prediabetes or other kind of diet-related conditions. They were seeing that connection and realizing, they could say, eat healthy, exercise, but if the support wasn't there in the community, if like Bobby was saying, if there wasn't access to fresh produce, you know, how can you expect people to be able to follow that, you know, that path to greater health? And so what we do is we have relationships with local clinics. They refer people to us, and then we have classes in the summer for folks with diet-related conditions where we're cooking together, we're learning together. We have nutrition programs, and they also go away with a basket of fresh produce from our network of 7 community gardens where during the week, that's kind of more of my role, is that I'm the farm manager, and so I'm growing vegetables there with local teens and with community gardeners and volunteers, and those vegetables go to people who are coming to the program so that they have access to that fresh veg, but we also sell at a local, at a farm stand on Saturdays at one of our sites.
Wow. That is really amazing, and I think that is super important that you guys are doing that. And it sounds like you and Miss Debbie are definitely in the same lane of trying to make sure that the community has access to those things. Miss Debbie, would you like to share on what you are doing as well? Because I try to cover it a little bit, but you're better at putting it so we can be able to put our conversation around this particular issue. Oh, topic.
Sure. So our market is called the Easton NRZ Pop-Up Market and Cafe, and our neighborhood for the last 30 years has been a food desert. So a group of us got together, I think it was about 3 years ago, and decided that we were going to do something about it. And we were going to open up a market ourselves that just serves fresh fruits and vegetables. So about the same time, there was a competition a grant coming out through the Aetna Foundation that was called The Healthiest Communities, and we entered that grant competition. Actually, I think it was a year later, and we were selected as one of their 50 healthiest communities, and we looked at addressing 3 issues. One was providing healthy, nutritious foods in our communities. 2, we looked at the job training opportunities for youth. And 3, one of our partners works with youth, and then addressing violence in our neighborhood. So, you know, our whole idea is we were going to open up this market in 6 months, and we were going to do all of this stuff out of this market in 6 months' time. So it was a big learning curve. There was no way that we got this market open in 6 months. 6 months turned into 2 years, probably 2.5 years it took us to get done. But 2.5 years, we clocked about, I think it was over 50,000 volunteer hours. We got everything donated. 2 years later, we are Aetna's national champions for the small cities. And putting this market together, we also won what Bobby was describing about 3 weeks ago. We were their national award winner, so they came down and presented us with, you know, the award designation. In addition to an award prize of $250,000 to help feed and to keep our market running for the next couple of years. But it took a lot of work, a lot of volunteer work, a lot of volunteer hours, a lot of our community, you know, pulling together and working hard to get the market done. So it's been a journey, but it's been a good journey.
That is really good, and it's good to hear from both of you on the importance of this issue, because we were talking a couple shows ago, we were talking about the Green New Deal and how, you know, those moments in history are changing the nation, and with obesity at an all-time high, which is another thing, especially with our young people, stuff like this need to take place in our community. So I have a question for both of you. With doing this project on your different projects, how has the city been in the relations of making sure that this is not just a thing that's going to happen on the Easton or happen in New Haven, but do you believe, you know, you're being well supported in this area? And if not, you know, what can we share to those that are in the community to say, hey, get behind these markets, get behind these pop-up shops to make these things happen more in our communities? And, you know, the Easton and New Haven are just starter positions, but it could go way further than what it is. What do you guys, how do you guys feel about that?
Why don't you start, Jocelyn?
Oh, I was going to say, I think we feel really well supported. We feel well supported by the city of New Haven. I know that there are a lot of conversations about how to increase urban agriculture in the city of New Haven, access to food, talking about food hubs. All kinds of ideas are being floated now, mm-hmm. and I know that the city is very supportive of that and wanting to try to put some dollars behind that mm-hmm. In a big way. And I also feel like the communities are really supportive. You know, from my role and where I sit, I'm in the neighborhoods. We're in Fairhaven, we're in the Hill. We're kind of all throughout the city of New Haven, and I think that the people on the block, people in the streets, are really excited that there are projects and gardens and activity where, you know, the gardens that we used to have were owned by the city of New Haven. They were abandoned lots, and now instead of just, you know, kind of trash piling up, there's vegetables and plants and activity, and, you know, it's a place where they can take their kids and they can come in the evenings and garden with us. And so I think there's a support there to say that that's valuable, and it adds to the neighborhood on that level. So I think, yeah, across the board, I think there's a lot of support for it and people wanting to take on, you know, branching out. They're saying, I want to start that in, you know, on my block, in my neighborhood.
That's great. Ms. Debbie?
So I think our city has been extremely supportive. It's something that they have worked hard. I think especially for our neighborhood, because it's something that, you know, they embraced from the beginning, and they worked on day in and day out, and they did it themselves. So it's very important and special to them. We've had, you know, folks that have come in from different parts of the city of Bridgeport who supported us in the journey as well. So I think it's going to become everybody's market. I mean, a lot of folks have been coming in there now to see how, and since they found out that we're there, to see how they can support us as we move further along the line. So it's been pretty good.
That's really great, and it's good to know that the city is behind it. And the reason why we asked that question, because a lot of people may not know what's happening in their cities, and you guys are both representatives for Bridgeport and New Haven. We want to make sure that, you know, if great power is behind it, most of the time individuals will get behind it as well. So we're grateful that you guys are being supported on your efforts, and, you know, that you're keeping the community first. And I know that we're talking about making sure that things like this happen in all different neighborhoods. One of the things that one of the questions we want to also ask you, and then we can also start, is what kind of solutions do you think are needed on the level of the federal policy to solve the crisis of hunger and poor nutrition among urban and rural communities? So what do you guys think about that, and how we can not just make it a local thing, but how we can push, you know, federal policies for this issue?
So I could talk all day on how we need to start solving things. I mean, just in terms of just the access issues is crazy, and the way. So we're doing a market. We're looking at trying to have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Just the whole, you know, issues around. I'm gonna give you just a simple example. So we're talking about access to SNAP and WIC, and can we get WIC or can we get SNAP? And, well, our neighborhood is, so I'm learning all the terminology. And, like, they says, oh, you have, it's too much WIC in your neighborhood, so you're not going to be able to get WIC because there's, you know, too many stores selling in the neighborhood. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So my store has, if I'm selling everything that's organic and fresh and you have the corner store that's selling all junk, that means because they have that and I'm the new kid on the block, so I can't get it because I'm new, but they're selling all junk, that means my store doesn't have access to it. So they have so many, like, crazy rules and regulations, and if I'm selling food that's hot, it's just the issues with the seniors. If I'm selling food that's nutritious and my food is hot and my seniors can't use their food stamps, but it has to be cold and they can buy it this way. It's like, you know, some of the systems that the government have in place for poor folks to access nutritional food with value to it, it's crazy to me.
And we're sitting in there, you know, we were just sitting in there last week. I said, we got to change the systems, and maybe Connecticut is where we start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a good relationships with our legislators over there. And I said, well, we got to start changing some of these rules that affect people who are lower income. If we want them to eat better and have better quality foods and more nutritious meals for people in our community, we got to start changing the rules here, because some of this stuff, it just doesn't make sense.
And Jocelyn, what about you in the New Haven area there? Is your program support? Are you allowed to work through WIC and SNAP in terms of distributing your food?
Right. Yeah, I was actually. I think Debbie's making a great point that there are difficulties with using SNAP and WIC, and fortunately, you know, our selling point really is we don't go to farmers markets. We really just sell on one of our larger gardens in the neighborhood, so it's just kind of an individual farm stand. But because it's a farm stand, we are allowed to take SNAP and WIC. We don't have a phone line though, because we're in a garden in the middle of a block, and so it's difficult for us to take SNAP because the card readers that they give you need to be connected to a landline, and so we kind of have to give people vouchers, and it's a complicated system. But we make the effort to do it, though, because we want people to be able to spend their dollars on radishes and lettuce and tomatoes and things that are fresh and things that come from where they live. There's a pride to that. There's a satisfaction to that they've been walking by, or they've been coming in the evenings and they see those plants go in the ground and they get taller, and then, you know, things start to ripen, and then they come on Saturday and they get to have some of those tomatoes that people they recognize have been taking care of. So there's a pride to that, to being able to use your resources to feed back into your local community, to the people that you know. One program that I think is interesting, actually a lot of our revenue at the farm stand comes from the state of Connecticut has the senior farmers market program, where I'm not sure exactly what the requirements for getting these, but they send out this kind of like book of checks that can only be used at farmers market,
right,
farm stands.
Mm-hmm.
And so we accept those, and a lot of people want to spend them with us. A lot of people say, okay, I know who these are and these people are, and that's where I can spend this thing that's not WIC and not EBT, so it can't be used at the bodegas or the grocery stores. It can only be used on the farm stand. So a lot of people come to us with those, and they want to use those. So I think that's a great program, and I think, like Debbie's saying, it's just expanding that access, expanding the definitions of you know, like she's saying, there's a difference between spending your dollars on you know, kind of processed foods that fit within WIC and SNAP and these fresh local ingredients from people you know. And so it's about adjusting policy in order to privilege fresh produce and local sources of that in ways that make it easier for people to choose that and seek that out. And so, it's also a policy level thing.
That's really good. And it's good to hear that you guys are, you know, finding ways around what some of the barriers are that, you know, that the federal government or, you know, those that be powers that be try to keep, you know, those things from coming into our communities. I was doing some research, and it said, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans eat the proper amount of fruits and vegetables. And under that same number, youth are in that same percentage. And it's crazy because the number is super alarming. So Ms. Debbie knows, and I'm very, very passionate about young people. And the thing that I love too is that we must be able to prepare the next way for the next generation to come up. I noticed that a lot of our young people have behavioral problems in school, and they also have a lot of issues and communicating issues. And a lot of it is being said that it is coming from improper food diets. So they're not eating what they need to be eating in order to be able to stay strong throughout the day, participate well, brain, not because your brain needs to have proper nutrition. But if we are fast fooding and if we are bodega and all the time, kids are eating chips instead of apples, and kids are eating, you know, burgers that are not even real burgers over a real salad. So we're not saying to change the whole, we're not saying that they can't enjoy those things. But as women that are working in this field of making sure that young people, you know, making sure that communities have access to fruits and vegetables, how does the young people fit in that category. What are you guys doing as far as programming, or, you know, are they involved in the gardens? How are they being able to get that same baton passed to them so they can learn about what's happening in their communities and also choose to eat better as a younger age? Because they can also, you know, they're not going to have their parents in school with them, but if they go into the cafeteria and they see a bag of chips versus an orange, which one will they choose? So how are you guys making sure that they are getting that same education in that?
I'm really excited about this year, actually. I'm really excited about it because for the first time this year, we're working with the New Haven Land Trust. They have a program called the Growing Entrepreneurs where they hire. It's a two-year program. It's a job. It's paid $11 an hour. But it's a job. It's a two-year training program, and we work with a group of local high schoolers. So this year, for the first year, I'm going to have a group of local high schoolers who I'm going to be mentoring and working with in the garden. They're going to be running our farm stand. They're going to be working with local restaurants to kind of market some produce. And so it's about entrepreneurial skills and business skills, but at the heart of it, it's also about getting onto the garden, understanding where how vegetables are grown, not just from the business side, but also from the health side, from the food access side. We want to have these conversations with them and really develop them to be leaders and to carry that message forward. And so we've already started meeting to plan the year, and I'm really excited to work with them. And then we have our nutrition classes, and those are for adults, but at the same time we recognize, you know, if you want adults to come to classes, you know, they need childcare, they need something to do with their kids. And so instead of just saying, okay, well, we're going to provide a babysitter, we actually have a whole youth program so that while the parents are working together and cooking together and learning about how to manage their diet-related conditions, we have a whole youth program where it's about learning recipes, trying different kinds of foods. They have their own garden that they take care of when they come to the farm once a week, and that's really about developing them from a young age to just be connected not only to the food but also to that space. Because like you were saying, when you're feeling unbalanced, I think that it's not just about the nutrition and the food, but it's also about the space that you're in. And so connecting to the gardens, connecting to the whole process of where the food comes from is really important for us, for everybody that we work with, but especially for the kids and the youth that we work with. So that's great. That's definitely something that we're trying really hard to put the focus on for our organization.
Ms. Debbie?
So what we did, we started last year, started working with a daycare. It might have been last year or 2 years ago where we introduced gardening. So we introduced the curriculum. So the kids actually, the gardens on Newfo Avenue, we work with the daycare over there. So the kids actually learn about growing and planting, and then they eat that as part of, we work with the chef there. So they grow, they eat, they make the meals, and that becomes a part of their curriculum in that their daycare environment there. We also work with fifth graders at one of the schools in the East End, and we have a food justice curriculum, and they learn about food justice and, you know, actually what that means to our neighborhood, and how do they learn to become advocates for that. And this summer, this will actually be our first summer where we're going to train what we're calling food champions, where they're going to go through the neighborhood and survey our neighborhood and begin to talk about food with young people in the community and introduce different types of foods to them through the cafe that we have set up on the avenue. So through our Friday night cafes, when they come in there, when the young people set up, you know how we usually have, kids always like to eat, but instead of having the traditional junk, we're going to have, like, fruit bars in there for them.
That's cute.
So it's the curriculum that we have set up when we had designed the cafe.
I just wanted to ask a question here, or make an observation. I think it's when you said, Debbie, that you talked to the young people about food justice and then associating that with the availability of fresh, healthy food. I think that's really an incredibly powerful point. I mean, it's almost like when kids learn in school, they have First Amendment, they have the right to privacy. They have the Bill of Rights to make the point that they also should believe that they have the right to fresh, healthy food mm-hmm. that can actually provide them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think that is that's an amazing connection. I think if you can make that at the early age, it's going to bear fruit. Not to make a big pun there.
And two, to share the fact that a lot of the junk food is cheaper for them to buy. And I know if you go to right. certain stores, without calling out their names, if you go to certain stores, it is hard to purchase a good meal of, you know, organic food and foods. And it's kind of hard, you know, for our generation or younger generation who may be interested in that store but don't have the money to do that. So I wanted to know for both of you, I know we talked about, you know, people having access to it, but is there any way that the young people can realize, okay, this is, even though that this is, you know, a bag of chips, it may cost $1.25 for a big bag, but you can also spend that same $1.25 and buy something at the same rate, or if not less, that are coming from your cafes and coming from your businesses or your gardens?
So we already know that it's going to be a cultural change. It's not going to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to encourage them and get them to eat those types of things that we're going to offer. And the pricing, when you look at things that are organic, are more expensive. We are grateful at the cafe, because we are beneficiary of this Aetna grant, that we're going to be able to buy down the price of our food there, so it's not going to be expensive, so that we can offer it to the community at a reasonable price, so they won't feel the difference and they'll be able to come in there and buy it. The kids will be able to get nice apples and oranges and fruits and all that kind of stuff at a reasonable price,
mm-hmm.
so we can steer them away from the junk, so that they won't buy those kinds of things. But it's going to be a process. It's not going to happen overnight. We'll just have to, you know, through continued education and, you know, with the educators who will be in there working through the community, telling them the benefits of changing their attitudes and perceptions and teaching them how to eat differently. It's going to be, we're anticipating a 2 to 5 year process to get them around to just changing those behaviors around food. We've seen it. So, you know, all the neighborhood parties that I traditionally do?
Mm-hmm.
So I do parties now, and we have no more junk.
Good. That's clever.
And so, you know, two or three years ago, they were like, oh, they're going to go crazy if you don't have no cake. I said, well, let's just try it. So now we have fruit salads. Now we have big salads. There's no more cookies. There's no more candy. Absolutely no more cake. So I said, as our parties, you know, if we don't have that, we're trying to change behaviors. Now, salad is the very first thing that goes. I have fancy salad bars now with all kinds of good things. And now the kids, 200 kids, they think it's a big deal. I have fancy fruit bars. They think it's a big deal. It's a big fancy fruit bar. So it's a behavioral change. And, you know, now they'll leave the meat there. Like if I have chicken or whatever kind of meat, the meat is there and the salad bars are the first thing that goes.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's an attitude change. You just begin to work on it. And that's what we're hoping that we're going to be able to do.
That's great.
How does that play out in New Haven, Jocelyn, in terms of...
Yeah, I just echo it that it's really, I think, about a chance to try it out. That's what our cooking and nutrition classes are about. That's why we cook mm-hmm. with the kids in the youth program. That's why at the farm stand we have kind of samples there for you to try, recipes and cooking demonstrations, where we'll have something that's made of, like, several ingredients that we have at the farm stand that might not be familiar, or, you know, might be something you can try that's new and or give you ideas and just kind of spur you to, okay, well, what can I do with this that's going to be appealing and interesting and taste good and not just kind of taste like a bunch of vegetables that I'm supposed to eat, but taste like something I, you know. So I think it's like Debbie was saying, it's just exposure over time, and then you realize you're starting to crave that fruit bar, that salad, rather than, you know, kind of that pre-prepared thing that you might have gone for before, or the bag of chips, you know. So it's just exposure, and it takes time to change what you crave. But I think as people that I've been around and myself as well, as I've gotten exposed to different kinds of recipes and techniques and ways to make that kale taste good, I turn to that more. I crave it more. It changes your expectations, you know. And so, yeah, like Debbie was saying, it's a long process, but we try to make sure that at just about any point, if they're touching New Haven Farms, you know, even in the gardens, I'll pull up a carrot and be like, let's wash this off and taste it, you know, and see how sweet this is when it's fresh harvested, or let's have some cherry tomatoes while we're talking. And I really try to make sure that everybody who's touching the farm is also getting a chance to taste something new.
What do the farms look like, Jocelyn? I mean, you said there were seven?
Yeah, there's seven. They all look different. They all look different. Some of them are just corner lots. There's four that are smaller gardens that I kind of work more closely with neighbors with to manage those spaces. And then we have three little bit larger gardens where we have our classes and our farm stands and a greenhouse where we start our seedlings, and we're teaching the teens how to start seedlings and take care of those until they're ready to go out when the snow is off the ground. So yeah, it really varies based on where they're at. But the important thing is that they're all kind of nested within a block. Like there's houses all around most of them, and so it's really fun because people on their evening walks will just be coming by. And so that's the kind of energy that we're trying to foster, is just to have it really nested right where people live, right in the neighborhood, so that, and that's the big difference between having an acre garden outside the city that's all connected and all together and is just out in nature versus an acre. It's about an acre altogether, but they're all split up in tiny little lots all kind of throughout the neighborhood.
Is there more space in New Haven to expand this project?
Definitely. There's definitely more space to expand. There's lots of interest. There's lots of community gardens. It's just a matter of managing the time it takes to do that and having a plan for, who's going to get involved. So I think right now we're in the phase where we're just connecting and trying to build deep connections with people to take on that work. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely room to expand, and we're talking about, you know, different sites and expanding and doing different things.
Debbie, tell us a little bit about what the market, the East End NRZ pop-up market, looks like. Is it about to open? I mean, do you have a projected moment, or is it already open? I'm a little confused on that.
So we are not officially open yet. We're still waiting on a handicap door to come in, so that should be here probably in another 3 weeks. So I'd say we'll probably be open probably in another month or so. But once it opens, if you look on our website, the video they did shows you what the market looks like. Actually, I think it's the most beautiful spot on Stratford Avenue. But it's about 1,500 square feet. It's a market cafe. We'll be serving breakfast and lunch. So we have recipes that we've designed. We have a nutritionist that we've been working with, and we'll have a chef there in the morning. And then we have a small grocery in the back, refrigerators and freezers, and then we'll have fresh fruits and vegetables available daily. And then there is about 12 seats in there with tables and chairs. And you can sit and have coffee and tea with your friends. So it's cozy. I invite everybody to come down and visit. And once a month we'll have nutrition workshops. Friday night will be Friday night cafes for young people. And there's also space available in the evenings for groups that want to have meetings.
That is really amazing for both of you guys on what you are working towards. And I definitely want to have you both share something positive and a call to action to the communities, because we know that you can't do this by yourselves and you need the support of the communities. Even with the support that you have, there's always room to do more. So Jocelyn, Debbie, tell us what something you would want to share with the community on why they should be a part of this and why they should support you.
And maybe give some contact information in terms of website, web addresses and or Facebook pages or emails or whatever.
I mean, I would just say it's newhavenfarms.org if they want to find out more information about us. I would say the thing that's important to support is that food and health are intertwined, and they're important to everybody. That's what brings us together is food, and that's what feeds our health and our bodies and our ability to do the things that we feel called to do in this world. And so I think that's why I would encourage people to seek us out if you just want to garden, if you just want to spend time outside, if you want to maybe join our classes, if you have diet-related health conditions, those risk factors. We're opening enrollment for those classes now, so you can seek that out. So there's a lot of opportunities to get involved, not just to help us, but in order to increase, you know, your connection to your neighbors and your community in a way that is going to help you make good choices with food, have access to that food, and just kind of improve your general health and well-being, your connection to people. That's, I think, what all of our programs are about. If they want to support us, if they want to come out, kind of our first big event is going to be Saturday, May 25th. That's Memorial Day weekend. We're having our seedling sale. We're going to have a ton of plants if people want to put them in their gardens, about 40 varieties of vegetables. We're going to have flowers as well. And that's at 613 Ferry Street, one of our main gardens, on a Saturday, May 25th. So that would be a way to come out, see what we're doing, see the gardens as they're starting off, get connected, maybe go home with a plant to kind of start that seed going at home. And then, New Haven Farms.org would be the best way to get some more information about it.
NewHavenFarms.org. And Debbie, what about your call to action and web information?
So our website is eastonnrzmarket.org. And my call to action is for our community to really stay involved and engaged in that Easton neighborhood. I mean, the market is just the beginning, and we all know that we still have a lot of work to do all over there. It's beginning in the summertime, and that we just had another killing in our neighborhood today. And it's very important that we keep our young people engaged. So they know I'm always preaching to the choir about how we have to keep our young people engaged. And through their support of the market, we can keep our young people working and active and busy. And that's what we need for them to do. So that's what I expect for them to do, to keep our young people engaged, and that's what we need to do. And I want to come and visit you guys in New Haven too. So
I know
I'm excited.
I'm going to keep your name. I think that also serves us well, that, you know, we don't want to just get stuck in our silos. I think what you're describing is amazing, and we all have to support each other, right? We don't want an island. So I think that's the crucial thing too. Yeah.
And we can share what we've learned with one another. I think that's important, too.
Yes. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. Thank you for taking the opportunity to share what you are doing and how you are impacting your communities through healthy foods, healthy vegetables, healthy everything. So we are so grateful. And community, if you're out there listening, we ask you to take initiative, take action, get involved. You have one in New Haven, one in Bridgeport. These ladies are doing an amazing job at what they're doing, and they're making sure that they pass it to the next generation. So mom, dad, it often starts with you, but you can also empower your children to do the same. So thank you again. For those of you who are listening, you're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM, and we're in the studio talking about healthy foods, urban farming, and food justice forum.
All right, Bobby. Last word from you.
I am encouraging all of you out there to eat better, live better, so that you could be free and better. So again, just take heed to the message that was brought across today, the importance of fruits and vegetables in your community. And if you don't want your community to stay in the food drought, take the initiative, take the action, and start something in your own neighborhood.
Thank you so much, Bobby, and we'll see you again in a month.